Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to say a special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come before you and break bread every Saturday morning. Amen. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and their senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and 10 a.m. begins their worship service. They also have Bible studies every Wednesday. Every Wednesday at noon, Eastern Standard Time, you can actually call this number, 917-388-4161, and listen to their Bible study live. And they also have Bible studies every Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. at their location. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can catch them on Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. That's Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. Well, thank you once again for calling in, and before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song, amen.
Traveled on every side. Sometimes I don't wanna try to move on when it seems there's nothing left. Lord, I need you to step in. Give me a second. Lord, with your help, I know that I will win. I will press, even when I am distressed. I will press, even when life's a mess.
praise the Lord. Glory to God. She said, I will press no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what situation, I will press. Paul said that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. That should be our focus. No matter what we're going through, that we're going to press toward the mark of the high calling for that prize in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody pressing this morning? Glory to God. That's our life calling, is to press. To press through this world. Glory to God. Well, thank you once again for calling in, and we're going to get into the word. Amen. Coming out of the book of Psalms, we're actually going to read Psalms and 2 Corinthians. Going to be our base scriptures. Psalm, the 34th chapter, starting at verse 15. Psalm 34th chapter, starting at verse 15. And then we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 8. The 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 8. Psalms 34, starting at verse 15, and it reads, and it reads, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter, starting at verse 8. And it reads, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now I want to read Psalms, the 34th chapter, starting at verse 19. I'm going to read that in the Amplified Bible. Psalm 34, starting at verse 19. And it reads, many evils confront the consistently righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall cause the death of the wicked, and they who hate the just and righteous shall be held guilty and shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants, and none of those who take refuge and trust in him shall be condemned or held guilty. Now, verse 19 in the King James Version, it reads, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter. We're going to read verses 17 and 18. Also in the Amplified Bible. 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter. Verses 17 and 18 in the Amplified Bible. And it reads, for our light momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. Verse 18 says, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporal, brief and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. The title of the message this morning is Deathless Afflictions. Deathless Afflictions. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again for waking us up this morning, God, to see another beautiful, glorious day that you have made. For we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for your new mercies, Father. Thank you for your all-sufficient grace that comes with this day, Father. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come into your presence once again, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, Father, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you will have to say to us this morning, to prepare us, to equip us, to make us ready, Father, to encourage us and build us up to go out into this world and do what you called us to do. Thank you, Father, for your word that saves, your word that heals, your word that delivers, your word that sets free those who are bound and captive in what we call sin. Thank you for your son, Jesus, Father. Thank you for sending him to be the example, Father, to live a sinless life and to take the sins of the world to the cross, Father. Thank you for allowing him to die on the cross, Father, and to go to hell for us and to take the keys of hell from Satan. Thank you for raising him up on the third day, God, with all power, and receiving him into heaven, his precious blood, Father, that was shed for us, for our sins, for our sicknesses, for our diseases, for our infirmities, Father. Thank you for Holy Spirit, for his leading, his guidance, his teaching, his comfort, ever reminding us of your word, Father, your promises. And thank you for you, Father, Almighty God, our Creator, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our supplier, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is always there, who never leaves nor forsakes us, Father. Jehovah the Sitkanu, the Lord our righteousness. Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you, Father, just for who you are. Continue to strengthen us, Father. For the joy of the Lord is our strength as we press through this world, Father, representing and representing you, Father, that you may get your glory. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Deathless afflictions. We're going to talk about afflictions this morning. Affliction is the state of being afflicted, the cause of persistent pain or distress, great suffering. Now, this type of affliction that we're talking about is not physical. It's more mental and spiritual. So I want to establish that. Afflictions. Out of the Holman Bible Dictionary, I'm going to read this. It says, affliction describes the state of being pained or distressed by oppressors. The two primary Hebrew words used for affliction mean to lower, humble, or deny, and depressed. both came from the same Hebrew word. In the Old Testament, the source of affliction is God's retribution upon disobedience, the natural conditions of life, personal sin, forces of opposition, and evil spirits or Satan. Evil spirits and or Satan. The New Testament, three Greek words may be used for affliction, including words meaning oppression, mistreatment, and misfortune. Suffering is sometimes used interchangeably for the word affliction, which is what we're talking about this morning. Affliction says another word is suffering. In the New Testament, the source of affliction is the natural conditions of humanity, meaning that it comes with it. Persecution because of faithfulness to Christ. Say, persecution comes for righteousness' sake. Discipline for the purpose of maturing the Christian faith. And the other one is the result of personal sin. That's a type of suffering or affliction. Affliction can be an individual matter or a corporate condition. We can experience affliction directly or indirectly. Affliction is sometimes described as overflowing all of life. Thus, affliction is one of the inevitable facts of our human experience. Read that one again. Thus, affliction is one of the inevitable facts of our human experience, meaning that it comes with living. We find comfort in our affliction by remembering the promises of God and by taking specific personal actions. The promises that God has given to help mankind cope with situations of affliction are: God sees and knows our affliction. Affliction is only temporary. That's what we just read. And God can deliver from any affliction. Says he delivers us from all of our afflictions. And it's only temporary. But they come at different times of our lives. To endure during times of affliction, Christians should, number one, pray to the Lord. Number two, comfort others. Number three, remain faithful through the patient endurance of suffering. Number four, cultivate an attitude of joy. And number five is follow the example of Jesus Christ. These are the things that help us endure affliction. Praying to the Lord, comforting one another, remaining faithful through the patient endurance of suffering or affliction, cultivating an attitude of joy. Joy, not happiness, joy. Because you can be happy one day and sad the next. But joy is everlasting. So cultivate an attitude of joy and then follow the example of Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. Starting at verse 19. 1 Peter 2, starting at verse 19, talking about deathless afflictions. 1 Peter 2 and 19, and it reads, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who, number one, did no sin, number two, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So Jesus is our example of how to endure sufferings or afflictions. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this type of afflictions or sufferings is not physical. And then I want to share this. It says no scripture ever sanctions living in sin, as many teach today. No scripture ever sanctions living in sin, as many teach today. So why did I say that? Because there's a saying that a lot of people use. I'm not going to say Christians, but people. They say, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." There's a song that has the lyrics, "We fall down, but we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. A saint is just a sinner." That right there is what I call an oxymoron. A saint cannot be a sinner, and a sinner cannot be a saint, because you're either a saint or a sinner. A saint is one who does not commit sin. And when I say commit sin, I mean having a lifestyle that represents sin. And a sinner cannot be a saint. Because once someone is born again, we're going to get into it. Once someone is born again, they're no longer a sinner. They're now a saint. Something else I want to share. Physical healing is part of the redemptive work of Christ. Physical healing is part of the redemptive work of Christ. It's part of our, what I call, you know, when we have jobs, we have benefit packages. So part of our benefit package of being born again is physical healing. By his stripes, we are healed. So we must have a mentality of already being healed. By his stripes, we are healed. Now, the title, Deathless Afflictions, we read about affliction. The word deathless means immortal, exempt from death, exempt from death. Now, remember, we're not talking about the physical. Exempt from oblivion. Oblivion is the condition or state of being forgotten or unknown, imperishable, not perishable or subject to decay, enduring or occurring forever. That's what deathless means. So these afflictions, they're not unto death. They're deathless. Let's go to St. John 10 and 10. St. John 10 and 10. And it reads, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, this is Jesus speaking, because number one, in my Bible, is written in red. But if we go back to verse 7, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again." So this is Jesus speaking. He says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." This is why Jesus came, that we may enjoy life to the fullest, not just being alive, but to enjoy life. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, starting at verse 6. And it reads, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. What are you worried about this morning? What are you concerned about? What causing you to suffer? What type of afflictions are you experiencing this morning? It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It tells us to be sober. Verse 8, be sober. Be sober. Everybody knows what sober means. Not under the influence. Be sober. That's interesting because a lot of people, and I can say this because I was an alcoholic. So when we were faced with different trials, tribulations, going through all types of sufferings and afflictions, the thing that comforts a lot of people is alcohol or drugs. But this scripture says, be sober. Then it says to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, when someone is under the influence, they can't recognize Satan. They can't understand the evil spirit behind what they're going through. And interestingly, after, and I say after, I was saved and delivered from alcoholism. I remember riding one day, and I saw a liquor store, and on the sign it said, spirits. I'm like, spirits? What in the world? What's that? I never noticed a sign when I went to all kinds of liquor stores. I never noticed the word spirit on a liquor store sign. Never. Because I was blinded. I was under the influence. Even when I wasn't drinking at that particular time, I didn't realize that the word spirits was on the sign of liquor stores, or it even represented alcohol, until I was saved and delivered from it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. The only way that we can resist Satan is being steadfast in the faith. Cannot resist it under the influence. Cannot resist them if we're not being vigilant, if we're not being watchful, being aware of his surroundings. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So those same afflictions that I experienced while I was in the world, meaning that when I wasn't saved and delivered, those same afflictions have now been accomplished. They now been defeated. They've been conquered because of what Jesus did. Verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So there are four blessings from suffering persecution. I want to say that again. There are four blessings from suffering persecution. How can we be blessed from suffering? Because the persecution comes for the righteousness' sake. See, when we started off in Psalm 34, in verse 15 it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the righteous. And then it says that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Then verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We're talking about the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Glory to God. The righteous, talking about the righteous. And in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, verse 17 reads, for our light affliction, our light affliction, talking about the righteous, which is but for a moment, So Paul calls our afflictions light. They're light because we've given him over to God. We don't have to carry them because God cares for us. Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." So Jesus is our example, said, "Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So there's been a transference . Jesus transferred his righteousness for our unrighteousness. Jesus transferred his burden, which is light, for our burdens. We don't have to carry them anymore. They're not ours. So the four blessings, we're going to go back to that. The four blessings of suffering. Of afflictions. 1 Peter 5. Verse 10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while." Suffered a while. Remember, it's temporary. "Make you perfect." That's number one. That's the first blessing. So suffering, afflictions, makes you perfect. Well, what's perfect? Being whole, being complete, wanting nothing. That's what being perfect is. Having a sound mind. Number two, established. So we must be established in the faith. That's what it does. It establishes us in the faith. Causes us to stay before God. Paul said, this thorn that I have, I can't get rid of it. So this suffering that he experiences, this affliction It keeps him before God. It establishes him. Number three, in verse 10, it says, strengthen. So it gives us strength. And remember, we're talking about spiritual strength, not the physical. It gives us spiritual strength that we may endure, that we may resist the devil. And number four, settles. It settles sufferings and afflictions. Settles us. It grounds us. It grounds us. It roots us in our faith. It gives us a good foundation that we can stand on, not wavering back and forth, not being double-minded. So the suffering, the afflictions of this world perfects us, establishes us, strengthens us, and settles us. And then the main thing is to remember that it's not unto death. There are deathless afflictions. And the only reason that they come is to perfect us, to make us whole, complete in him, to establish us in our faith. To give us spiritual strength to fight against the wiles of the devil. And to settle us that we may be grounded and rooted, having a good foundation in our faith. So these afflictions are light and they're temporal. But we have to endure them. They come with us being righteous. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep walking in righteousness. And then it says that God delivers us from them all. Glory to God. God delivers us from them all. Father, thank you for deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank you for victory, Father. Thank you for perfecting us. Thank you for establishing us. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for settling us in our faith. We thank you and we praise you that when the deathless afflictions come, we will be perfected. We will be established. We will be strengthened. And we will be settled in our faith. in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Deathless afflictions. Walk in your victory. Walk in your authority. Walk in righteousness. Love you. God bless you. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. Be blessed.